You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning and welcome to Get Radio with me, Ben Thompson, founder of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the knowledge, the expertise of businesses, business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener. And it's a real privilege. And this week is going to be very different. This week, we're talking about the future of recruitment. And we also have a very special presenter joining us today. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I really look forward to welcoming our special presenter after this. Get Radio.
Well, it is Get Radio and it is the Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, but not today. I'm really, really lucky to be sat in his seat as we talk about the future of recruiting and we chat to, well, the person who maybe best knows all about recruiting here in Oxfordshire. It is, of course, the wonderful Ben Thompson from Thompson and Terry Recruitment. Ben, thanks for joining me on your show. This feels very alien and weird. Does it for you? Please tell me it does.
Doesn't it just? Yeah, doesn't it just? And it feels weird hearing the name Ben Thompson, as strange as that sounds. But it's a real pleasure. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a bit of a hard time as I give lots of guests. So bittersweet, I'm sure.
No, I'll go easy on you. Well, look, first and foremost, just tell us a little bit about Thompson and Terry Recruitment. And of course, if you could end it, as you well know, with your song choice, that would be perfect.
Thank you, Rich. So for those who aren't familiar with Thompson & Terry Recruitment, we are a full service recruitment business as opposed to a recruitment agency, in that a recruitment agency registers candidates and pitches candidates out or takes candidates from their database and sends them to employers. How we differ is that we operate like a headhunting firm, whether that be our traditional executive search division, where we're working on directors and partners and senior hires, or whether it be our biotech division — there's more biotechs in Oxfordshire than anywhere else in the world — or whether it be our headhunting approach to typical office-led vacancies, your sales, your marketing, your office administration. As a result of our process, what we're so proud of is 81.9% of the very first CV we sent last year got the job, compared to a reported national average of just 5%. And we've won lots of awards along the way for our hard work, and the team do some amazing work there, so I'm super, super proud of them. In terms of my song choice, I'm going to go back to being a little bit younger and going to watch this wonderful band at Wembley. And yeah, I was born in the 90s, so of course it's got to be Oasis, and I'm going to go for Wonderwall.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
It's Get Radio. It is the Business Brunch. And aren't we all just happy that it wasn't Sweet Caroline for the millionth time? As yes, the show is slightly different this week. It's myself, Rich, in the hot seat. And we're chatting to the wonderful Ben Thompson about the future of recruiting. We just had a little kind of overview of Thompson and Terry Recruitment. And Ben, the thing that instantly sort of stuck out for me is, yeah, with the greatest respect, you're not normal. You don't do things that the run of the mill. So just sort of explain to us how you are different and how you're seeing those fantastic results that we just heard about before Oasis.
Yeah, totally. So when Mike Terry and I set up Thompson and Terry in 2014, we really felt that the recruitment agency sector was broken in many ways. And the reason for that is, if you are a recruitment consultant working for one of the big national brands or a lot of independents, particularly back then, before the world of Zoom and Teams were really kind of mainstream, Your job as a recruiter would be to build a database. So you would be calling candidates and you would be saying, come to my office in central Oxford and register with us. So really the power were to those recruitment businesses with the biggest database. And then when you've got jobs on, you take a job on for a radio presenter, you would go to your database and you would say, who's the five closest CVs? I'm going to send those CVs to the employer. And you would hope the employer would interview, or when they do interview, you would hope one of those individuals gets the job. If you don't have lots of jobs on, you would be picking up the phone to, I don't know, let's say that you've got a pay-per-click executive or a Google AdWords exec. You would pick up the phone to every agency across Oxfordshire and you would say, I've got a really, really great Google AdWords executive. Would you be happy to look at their CV? And if you'd like to employ them, the fee is this. And the reason why I felt that that was really broken, particularly in the small business market, is humans aren't a box, right? We've all got our own personalities and we've all got our own aspirations, and business is very similar, particularly the small business market, have culture and values and aspirations. So for me, that really felt like a square peg in a round hole. But also, whilst yes, we are very much employed by the employer, and those are the people that pay our living in the nicest possible way, it's a terrible candidate experience. The well-known kind of UK stat, and there's a few contradictory stats, which is the reason why I say circa 5%, is for every 20 CVs that leave a recruitment agency across the country, roughly 5%, so 1 in 20 actually get the job. So off the back of that, you've got 20 people that are going into, in the olden days, Central Oxford, I appreciate someday probably more Team and Zoom these days, to register with a recruitment agency. You've got a big number of those preparing for interviews and potentially taking time off work. You've then got the hiring manager interviewing. And actually, the worst case scenario isn't actually the not getting the job or getting the job. The worst case scenario is getting the job and it being totally different to what that candidate expected. You know, you've left the job, you've got bills to pay, you're then unemployed, is point one. But secondly to that, for an employer, the biggest cost of recruitment is hiring the wrong person, right? Having somebody join your organization. So if we were to look at you, Rich, when you hired the wonderful Zara, who's absolutely amazing and the brains behind this show, if Zara were to join you and you were to train her on all of these great things and were to leave after 3 months, you're then back to square one. And Zara's been with you for 2 years and done an amazing job. But that really felt like a lose-lose-lose. So here at Thompson & Terry, we thought, do you know what? We've got the simple philosophy in that we won't register candidates. Every role we take on, whether it be a junior role on our own graduate programme or the managing director of a large organisation because the current owner is looking to exit, we will apply a headhunting approach. We'll find that very best person. We'll conduct at least an hour-long interview with any candidate. And then the one that we do send will be, in 81.9% of the case, the person who gets that job. And I guess how we do that isn't rocket science. We're no more skilled than any recruitment business. We don't have extra resource or extra equipment or whatever. But actually, we follow a process with our clients, which is the exact same process that we would follow within our own business to be sure that we find that right person. So yeah, that's a long answer to a short question, but hopefully that sheds a little bit of light.
No, it really does. And what sort of stands out is there must be more of a personal approach and actually getting away from that database, because I mean, that's literally what it is. When you've kind of had that interaction, the interview process that you mentioned, if you're treating candidates as that individual basis, because as you just alluded to, someone might be interested in a certain sector, e.g. sales, but they might not be I don't know, I'm picking terrible examples, but they might not be the best on the phone, or they might not be confident in this area or that area. So I guess you getting to know your candidates and know your people, you go, well, actually, do you know what? I'm not going to put that one person through because it's telesales. That would be completely wrong. They're a great salesperson, but that's not for them. And I guess that kind of everyone sort of nods and agrees when the employer goes, well, I want someone who's great on the phone. And I want to speak to someone who's confident in that, who enjoys that and who wants to do that. And when you have all those things sort of married up, it seems a lot better process for everyone involved, from the recruiter, from the candidate, and from the employer.
Yeah, totally. And do you know what? I think the biggest thing that we do is that I think that I haven't mentioned that I think is really key is that we are so to the point and so straight. So we're very aware that we are a tiny business, and when we're super busy, we might work on 15 roles at any one time. So the probability is, whilst we work on marketing and finance and HR jobs and lots of different things, if you are a HR manager in Oxfordshire and we pick up the phone to you and say, we're working with this HR consultancy and we've got this great vacancy, straight away we'll say, can we get an idea in terms of your salary requirements, where you live, how would you get to work? And actually, if our client's in a small village and there's not good public transport links, we will be really straight in terms of, yes, we're happy to give you some advice. We've got lots of guides. We can point you in the right direction. But just for transparency, we are tiny, so it's unlikely we're going to get a role that will match your criteria in the foreseeable. And then actually, from a candidate point of view, if they'd like some help from us and some advice, absolutely, we can give them some advice. But at the same time, we're not giving that false hope. And I think that that really comes onto a slightly different topic that was one of the best things we did in our business. When we first set up and first started hiring staff, we together wrote our mission statement. And a big part of our mission statement is we want to grow for clients, candidates, our own team and the community around us. And if anything in any way, yes, it might be brilliant for the candidate, but it's not good for the employer, we're not going to do it. It might be brilliant for the employer, but it might be a really bad fit for the candidate. We're not going to do it. And I think a really good example of that is, in the world of radio, load whenever we've had, radio sales jobs as a really good example, you get loads of applications from people who've done media at university or have done broadcasting or whatever that actually want to be you, Rich, and they want to be sat in your seat talking on the radio. But actually, we all know moving from radio sales to radio broadcasting is maybe impossible is a strong word, but near impossible. And if you're a commercial radio station, and you're looking to hire a salesperson, actually, you want that individual to be passionate about sales, not about radio. And it's just really about absolutely aligning those aspirations and making sure that it's a win for the employer and the candidate right now, but also in 6 months, in 12 months, in 5 years' time is the trick, which, like I said before, isn't rocket science.
No, absolutely. And just a kind of quick follow-up on that, and if you can do this briefly, that would be amazing. But imagine two candidates, and one goes to Thompson and Terry, and one goes to pick another recruiter. You kind of, will I say, normal recruitment agency, the sort of database things. What's the kind of process? What would I expect with Thompson and Terry that I wouldn't get or would get from another recruiter? What are those points of difference and those things that sort of set you apart just from that literally that first introduction to you?
Yeah, certainly. So I guess I can't talk for every recruiter because there's, the high street agency has huge value in certain places. But what a high street agency would give you is they'll let you register straight away. They will ping your CV out to lots of employers, and probably get you interviews. And especially if you're in the temporary market. So I'm just looking for a bit of cash tomorrow. High street agency, hands down, that's where you need to go. Where our process is probably quite unique is we will be really straight with you. Within 2 minutes, we will be able to say, yes, we've got something to talk about. This is the employer. Let's press forward. Or we will be able to say, actually, we're not the right people to help. Go and talk to, I don't know, Hayes, big recruitment agency. They're really, really great people to talk to. But then once we talk to them, that process is really, really simple. We give an overview of the business and the role. We say, does this sound interesting? Would you like some more info? If the answer is yes, we send a really detailed follow-up with job description, links to social media, Glassdoor review pages, our version of the job advert. And at that point, once the candidate comes back to us, there's no hard sell or pressure. We would then interview them for an hour, which is very rare for the recruitment agency sector. And then again, different to us to most a typical agency is we would send the original CV. There's no value to the candidate or the employer for us to rewrite their CV, make it amazing if they can't do it themselves. It's really important they see that true reflection. And they would get the original CV along with probably 2 pages, about 20 bullet points of interview notes, all written by us. Then once an interview's booked, some recruiters do this, but we're very full on in that we will give interview confirmation and a prep email, and then they would have a bespoke prep call, which would typically take 20 minutes, half an hour, really giving them feedback on their call with us and designed to ensure that the employer sees the very true version of themselves, but they're giving all of that employer the data. And then a lot of handholding throughout the process for employer and candidates. So it's not hugely different once they go forward. It's just a lot of handholding. But the big difference is where we're really good is where we've approached the candidate and got a job for them, where a candidate's much better to go to a high street agency. And I used Hays as an example because they're a big brand with a good reputation, is you're looking for a job tomorrow. You want work and you want cash in your bank. And that's where that kind of business model comes in.
Brilliant and perfect. Well, I'm really enjoying finding out, learning a bit more about recruitment, the sector, and of course about Thompson and Terry as well. Hence why I'm sat here asking the question today, and Ben is our very, very willing and brilliant guest. We'll be back after this with more questions for Ben here on the Business Brunch.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is the Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch with a slightly unfamiliar voice saying the Business Brunch, and welcome back, that's for sure. I'm sat here interviewing the wonderful Ben Thompson from Thompson and Terry Recruitment. We're chatting about the future of recruitment and a kind of a big and loaded question that I think we'll get onto a little bit later on. But I just wanted to sort of take the recruitment side of things and speak about a lot of the small businesses that are probably listening to the show right now. And they're probably asking that question, when is the right time to get a recruiter? Is there a right time? What juncture should you be kind of looking to go down the recruitment avenue rather than potentially doing it yourself, rather than maybe sort of getting HR to look at it? When is it right to contact you, Ben?
Yeah, totally. I think what I always say to employers is, if you've got the skill to recruit, and what I mean by that is that you know how to interview, you're confident in your selection process, you're confident that you can attract the right talent, combined with the time, and I think that those two things are very interlinking, absolutely you should recruit yourself. And I guess the means also comes under the skill piece. Where we have real value is where a business lacks either both of those things or lacks one of those things in some cases. So if you're, as a really good example, if you're really, really comfortable that you know what good is, it's not a particularly difficult role, you need a bum on the seat, but you just need that. Maybe an Indeed type job board could be really well suited. Where we've got real value is where a business lacks one of those two things. So they need to ensure that they hire the very right person. We both know the most expensive cost of recruitment is hiring an unsuccessful hire, or you're unable to find that individual. I think we always use a lot of sporting analogies, but I think this really does resonate. If Oxford United, as a really good example, were to put an advert out and say, I would like somebody to play for Oxford United, they'd be absolutely inundated with players, wouldn't they? But if Oxford United were to say, we want a 20-goal-a-season striker, every other club is trying to do that, and that's where you may need to rely on a recruitment agent or a football agent in this case. And I think that it's very similar in our case. We're very good where businesses should talk to us and not necessarily use us, but get the advice. It's always complimentary. Is if they're not quite sure about where to go to find that candidate and not quite sure where to go in terms of that vetting process, or don't have the time to interview, 10 people. So typically we would interview 10 to 15 people per placement, and to get that one CV over. So that's kind of where we add the particular value, I'd say.
And on that, and we sort of slightly alluded to it with that, in terms of sort of personality profiling, in terms of kind of businesses wanting that right type of personality to go into a role versus maybe the attributes and skills. You know, it's the right personality for the role as important, more important as potentially getting a degree, as potentially getting a accreditation from somewhere or something, getting a bit of paper that says you're a good person versus actually just that person being the right fit for a job.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's necessarily a one size fits all answer here, because of course the caveat that we will give is that for certain sectors there would need to be a qualification. So if you are a dentist practice, of course you need to be a qualified dentist, of course you do. And then I think that if we go back one layer in terms of that skill set is if you are a marketing agency and looking for a copywriter, of course at that stage of a career it's very difficult to teach spelling and grammar as a really good example. So I think that there certainly are anomalies there, but what I always ask my clients is around kind of the skill set and the experience is what can be trained. And it's not just necessarily about what can be trained, but what do you have the means to train, I think is a really great conversation to have with a recruiter or a HR consultant. I think the bit that is an absolute must to get it right is that personality fit, that value fit, and that aspiration fit. And I think aspirations is one of the things that is very much brushed under the carpet. If I ask the stereotypical interview question, what are your aspirations? You'll have 80% of candidates will have no idea. Of that 80%, half of them will say, I want to sit in your chair, because we heard that in a lesson when we were at school. Or half of them will say, oh, I don't know, really, I'm interested in this role. But actually, I think that as part of an interviewing piece, it's really important to understand what is that individual's why. Do they want to be earning more money in the future? Actually, is training really important to them? Is work-life balance really important to them? Because actually, if one of those things isn't achievable within that organization, that can get that to fall over straight away. So a really good example is I spoke to a candidate who wasn't anything to do with our clients, who wanted to be a paramedic, and that was their aspiration. But actually, when you start to go a little bit deeper, that candidate's passion was football. They played football every Saturday. They played five-a-sides in the evening. So that is going to be a real kind of like stretch into the arms, isn't it? Because you're going to impact your personal life. So I think it's really important to talk about that. And we all know that there is a bedding in period. So if you hire someone, they're not going to make you money on day one. It's going to take a little while. And if they're going to leave for reasons that you could have understood up front, that's really, really key to understand that straight away and to be a win for both. And then the final thing that I'll touch on is you spoke about personality profiling there. Personality profiling is a brilliant thing to do with two caveats. If your whole team have been personality profiled, brilliant thing to do. And DISC is one that I think is particularly great, but there's lots and lots of others. So if your whole team within your organizations have had a personality profile, they all understand what that means. That's great. But then also it's really important the interviewer understands what the personality profile means in its own right, because a standalone will always have positives and areas for improvements and things to work on, and without understanding the wider team has no value. And I would always recommend talking to, you know, the likes of James Fryer at Face to Face HR, a really good example that's regularly on the show that can offer a lot of support. And of course there's lots of other HR consultants across Oxfordshire and beyond.
No, of course. He's so good at this. He's so good. And Ben, I'm going to ask in the last part, I've got two big questions that I think we're going to spend a fair whack of time on and asking. And that's why I'm just going to chuck a song in here. And I feel so alien. Like, this is your baby and this is your show. But the roles have been slightly reversed today. We are catching up with Ben Thompson, the host of the Business Brunch, of course. And we're talking all things the future of recruitment. That's one of the questions that I desperately want to ask, but also just a little bit about interviewing as well. That's all going to be on the way for you coming up on the Business Brunch.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Yes, it's the Business Brunch here with a slightly unfamiliar voice. It's me, Rich, because we are, of course, interviewing Ben Thompson, usual host, because there's no better person to talk about the future of recruiting and recruitment than Ben Thompson from Thompson and Terry Recruitment. So I'm going to go two-footed, because we love our football analogies, Ben, into that and say, look, what is the future holding for recruitment? Because I know you've kind of looked at your own business and kind of realized and helped and future-proofed yourself as well, and used that buzzword, which will get mentioned, of using AI. So with all that, and I know it's a very big and massive question, try and unpick it as best you can.
Lovely question. I think for me, the future of recruitment, the certainty is that there will be change. There will absolutely be change. And I'm going to try and unpick that in a couple of ways. So for employers, we've had the Employment Bill or the Employee Rights Act, where actually there's things like day one rights. We've seen the increase in the cost of national insurance. We've seen AI swoop in and take away certain parts of certain roles and focus on efficiencies. So I think the first thing that is really going to be a big part of the future is, I think gone are the days, oh, we'll just give that person a chance. If they don't work, fine, we'll go to somebody else. And I think in my recruitment career, I've spoken to employers who intentionally will hire two people with the view that one of them won't work and one of them will work. And I think that part of recruitment, I think, will really kind of disappear, firstly. And I think employers are going to, over a period of time, actually go back to that human interaction. Yes, they will be using things like personality profiling. Yes, AI is going to be used probably for sense checking, in my view, e.g. have we sent out the right employment contract? Is our job advert in line with protected characteristics is a really good example. But I don't think that the selection process will be used in the future as much as it is now using AI, which is quite a bold statement to make, my prediction, as opposed to an industry one. I think that from a candidate point of view, I think AI is going to have a huge impact. So what we're seeing is that so many candidates are making mistakes with AI. And there's two or three key areas. The candidates that are using AI just to write their CVs are very, very quickly getting rejected from most jobs, because whilst their CV is brilliant, actually, it's very easy to think, wow, that's just written using AI. Or, and actually some ATS systems that big employers would use to say, actually, I want to interview the five applicants that score the highest, are learning very quickly to see what's written using AI. So that's kind of point one. Right. Point two is where candidates aren't using any form of AI to get input and to get detail. What we're seeing there is that those candidates are coming short as well. So I think that in my view, from a candidate point of view, where this will really grow is that a CV needs to be written for human and for AI. And how you do that is you get ideas and you get insight from AI and you get feedback. But actually, the average CV in Britain, and this is an industry stat, is looked at for 3 seconds. So within 3 seconds, you need to say who you are, what you're looking for, and why the person should read on. So a very short opening statement. And then from a quality score point of view, if you're focusing on the readers in an interview, so somebody who loves detail, you need it to make sense from a reading point of view. And then if you look at the AI that is doing quality scoring, you need to be detailed. So long are the days of the one-page or the two-page CV. The detailed CVs that are written for human but I've got lots and lots of granular detail will score for AI. So I think those two things will be really, really big. And then I think thirdly and fourthly, I think that the employers that are really prioritising that candidate experience, that's making those individuals feel as individuals and valued and cared for, I think will put their head above the parapet and will be able to attract some of the candidates that have made recruitment very granular. So I think there's going to be a lot of changes. I think that if I were a recruitment agency that were putting bottoms on seats in the nicest possible way, I would be very worried about the likes of Reed AI or Indeed that are using those systems, because you are direct competitors and you're never going to compete with those from a cost point of view. But I think that businesses like Thompson and Terry and headhunting firms, actually, AI is great for us and it gives us a really good opportunity. So I appreciate that wasn't a one-faceted answer. But yeah, that's my prediction.
No, it's an interesting one and an honest one as well. And that's what I always love about listening to the Business Brunch, is you assume potentially one thing, but actually the answers are kind of a bit different. But like you say, with AI and writing it, you know, with it rather than using it in its entirety and kind of just going, right, write me a CV. It's cherry picking those little elements and kind of making it the biggest and best. I was going to ask you, I'm not sure, I was going to ask you a different question. I'm going to hold that back for just 1 second because something came up and I know you kind of do your tips and everything at the end of the show, and maybe this should be at the end of the show, but I think this is sort of vitally important. You see, and you've come across a plethora of CVs in your time. You know where I'm going with this. And I guess that's always changing, but are there some do's and are there some don'ts? And bear in mind that I do want to ask you another big question as well. So if you've got like a few bullet points and stuff with that, that would be amazing.
Yeah, totally. There definitely are. So I think two or three things. The first thing is use Word format. Do not use any of these fancy, pretty CVs. If you're a marketer and you want to show off your creative wisdom, put a link to your online profile or your online portfolio. Do not use non-Word formats. And the reason for it is that a lot of systems that clever recruiters are using, whether it be CRM systems or ATSs or whatever else, don't tend to like non-Word. So use a standard Word format, I think, is really, really key. Look at that first half a page. And the reason for that is if you look at your computer screen now, what you can see on a computer screen without scrolling down, think 3 seconds. You need to be able to, as I said before, say who you are, what you're looking for, and why the person's reading on. And make sure that actually on that basis, you size 10 font. Don't do the big names or anything like that. Really easy contact details. We don't need to know your full address. Just Abingdon, comma, OX14 is absolutely fine. But then I think that the other things that are really key to think about is be quantifiable. So we as a business look at about 20,000-ish CVs a year, potentially a few more.
Wow.
And off the back of that, I would say over half of them are enthusiastic, hardworking, top performer. Actually, if you work in sales, what was your target? What did you achieve? And what was the average across the team? Actually, if you work in radio, how many people are listening to the show? How many shows are you airing at a time? What softwares and what systems are you using, and name them. Don't presume that the person who's reading your CV is an expert in your area. They could be AI. They equally could be a resource or a PA to the hiring manager. So it's really important that we talk in plain English and actually we don't presume anything is known. And then the final thing, which there's lots of things I could give, but I think the final thing that I think would be, well, final two things. One is be detailed, but the final thing that I really want to touch on is so many organizations, and this is a little bit of careers advice, are pushing more and more and more on this corporate social responsibility piece. So actually, include interests. If you're really interested in charity work, or if you've done this great charity thing, or actually, if you're really interested in fitness and health and all of these things, include them. You can get really good points for within those employers who are interviewing on a point system. Think back to your driving theory test all those years ago. You can get the points for show me, tell you me. And that can be the difference between passing and not. So add personality, but be quantifiable, be detailed, and make it really easy for anyone to read. You want to be as in plain English as you can. Do not complicate it.
Brilliant. I really wanted to ask that question. I know it's kind of a little base question for you, but I think that little tidbit would have helped quite a lot of people kind of listening in this situation.
Totally.
My last question for you today, and this I wanted to ask this last, even though it probably kind of could have fit in the middle, is about interviewing. Now, I hear week in, week out at the end of the business brunch recordings and what have you, and get told from Zara as well, and people coming up to you, that when they come on the business brunch, that it really easy to chat to you. The questions are interesting and informative. And to give people a little sort of background into this as well, Ben has helped me with the questions and kind of given me little bullet points, a little factoids and what have you, to help with this interview process. Otherwise, I would have been floundering and struggling to kind of create a show as good as what I wanted to do for Ben. It is your makeup of what you do in recruitment, and that interview process that we heard in the first part of the show is vitally important. You spend an hour with candidates. What are those kind of key questions, and what makes a good interviewer? And am I one? There we go. There's the loaded question at the end there. I'll let you do that.
Rich, if I could be half as good as you, I'd be a very, very happy man, and you made a living out of it. So there's the ego boost. It's a very, very honest one, my friend. But in all seriousness, for me, whether you're interviewing on radio or in this case, in the world of recruitment, so interviewing a candidate, we all know candidates will get nervous. We all know that many interviewers in the olden days want candidates to remember all of the facts, how many people work at an organisation, who are the directors, what's their shoe size, or whatever else. But I think that gone are the days of that. What the ultimate goal of a recruitment interview is to ensure that both parties, and this is a challenge we set ourselves at Thompson & Terry, both parties, let's assume it's successful, they were to join the organisation, if both parties were to look back 12 months after joining, we would expect both parties to be able to say, that candidate was exactly what I expected. The good, the bad and the ugly were exactly that. And the employer to say, and the candidate to say exactly the same. The job is exactly what I expect. So to get to that point, what we're not looking to do is see how a candidate deals under pressure, make them feel really uncomfortable, give them a grilling. Equally, what we're not trying to do is get them, is to really sell the organization and make it sound amazing so they say yes. The ultimate goal of being a good interviewer is making that person feel really comfortable, asking them the questions that they're going to really know about. We don't want to know what they don't know about. That's fine. It's actually about what do they really know about? What are their passions? What makes them unique? What are they really looking for a role? What can they learn? And what are they willing to learn is really, really key. And for me, I think a really great interview is you want to ensure that both parties come out and absolutely think, do you know what? This can be sure that actually this isn't for me in the world of recruitment. That's absolutely fine. We it's good to know it there. Or do you know what? This is absolutely the right fit. And I always say to employers and candidates, if you've got 10% doubt or 15% or 20% doubt, it hasn't been the right interview process and don't press forward. So one of the things that we tell employers and candidates to do is get yourself some, question marks in advance. Like, you know, as you're doing your prep as a candidate, get yourself a notepad, write out questions, and you should have 10 questions as you're doing your notes. And then once you get to the end of the interview, so I have prepared some questions, can I go to my notepad and go down your checklist and just make sure they've all been covered? It's so much better to cover them up front. I say to employers, if you've got doubts about the candidate, of course, don't say I think you're really rubbish, but be really nice about it. But say, do you know what, candidate? I'm actually a little bit concerned about this. Let's have a chat about that. I think is really, really key. And then one final tidbit, because we are on radio, and you're far more qualified than I to talk about this, Rich, but I think on radio, if we look at 280 shows of the Business Brunch, all 280, lots of guests, so probably two or three a week on average, I guess. So let's say 600. All of them have been experts in their profession. All of them have been passionate about their business and genuinely come on to share their knowledge, their expertise and their wisdom. And actually all we say to them is, all I want to do is I want to get information about out from them that is going to be interesting for the audience, is going to give them a chance to have a pat on the back for all of the great work they've done, but also actually be really useful and really practical. If we're doing a show on recruitment, what I'm hoping is that people listening today would have thought, oh, actually, I might recruit that way. Or actually, I'm looking for a new role. I might think about doing that. It's not actually designed to be a sales pitch. And I think that when you have that mindset, I think it becomes Really, really simple on both sides. So hopefully that gives some sort of sense.
It really does. Ben, I've thoroughly enjoyed spending time with you this morning. It's been a real insight into what you do. And I think you've highlighted exactly what goes on beautifully and perfectly. I hope I've done you justice. Normality will, of course, return next week.
Thank you so much, Rich. Really, really appreciate it, my friend. Rich is somebody that I've known for 15 years on the radio and one of the greatest guys and greatest presenters that you will ever meet. Very modest as well. So thank you for listening to the show this week. Next week, we are going to be back with some brand new guests talking about a topic impacting on local businesses. And next week, we're going to be talking about building your personal brand. And to do that, we're joined by Catherine Fell of Brand Photography by Catherine, Ben Cook of Blue Blood, and Sam Candiali of Copru, who are part of the DevComs group. So a really, really interesting one. And I'm sure we'll talk about some general branding and PR and image as well along the lines. Finally, just a reminder, if you enjoyed the show, you can listen to this show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. Do look out for the podcast version, which is available on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you would like to see my lovely guests, especially Rich this week, do look out for the video version, which is released on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.